me to the book of 1 Kings. Chapter 4. Verse 29 to 34. God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceedingly much, and the largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. Largeness of heart is linked to wisdom. A man and a woman that longs to walk in wisdom must have the largeness of heart that speaks about love. If you're going to walk in wisdom, you have to walk in love. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the East Country and all the wisdom of Egypt. If God give you wisdom, your wisdom is mightier than the wisdom of Egypt, than the wisdom of all the children of this earth. God's wisdom is powerful. Amen. He was wiser than all men, than Ethan, than Ezrahite, and Heman, and Chakor, and Dada, the sons of Mahor. And his fame was in all nations round about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. He spake of trees, from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springs out of the wall. He spake also of beasts, and of fowl, and of the creeping things, and of fish. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all the kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom. Verse 33. Solomon's wisdom not only covered proverbs and songs, Solomon's wisdom is based on a wide spectrum, a wide range of subjects. He would talk about trees, he would talk about hyssop, he talk about bees, animals, he talk about birds, creeping things, insects, fishes. A man that is full of wisdom will use creation, nature, to explain the wisdom of God. One day when Jesus Christ was walking, he says, "Oh, do you know the mustard seed? Don't belittle the mustard seed." Then we can talk about the four different types of soil. Then Jesus began to talk about, look at the fowls of the air, that the Father take care of it, even a sparrow dropped to the ground, even the Father would know it. Jesus Christ used nature to explain the wisdom of God. The day I was doing counseling, I began to talk about soup. How soup is related to their own relationship. You see, you can use all things to explain the wisdom of God. But tonight we're going to talk about the wisdom of Solomon in the area of beasts or animals. Alright, there's powerful wisdom in animals. So tonight we're going to talk about four types of beasts that's found in the book of Proverbs. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, beginning from verse 24. We're going to talk about the ants, the conies, the locusts, and the lizards. How these four creatures is linked to the theme that we are talking about tonight. Preparation for this decade of the 90s. How we can learn the wisdom of these four creatures to prepare ourselves against the stormy weathers of the 1990s. Verse 24. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. He that is wise, learn from these four creatures, and you will be exceedingly wise tonight. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. Verse 28, the spider. Other versions talk about the lizard. We're going to talk about a spider in our next Sunday sermon, but we'll talk about the lizard tonight. The lizard takes hold with her hands and is in the king's palace. The wisdom of God is simple but profound. The wisdom of God is simple for everyone to hear and receive. But He has great, profound truth within the simplicity of the message. As you mature in the Lord, you'll be simple but profound in your sayings. The ants are the people, not strong, yet they prepare. Notice the word prepare. Why do we need to talk about the word prepare? Hold it there and turn with me to the book of Hebrew, chapter 11, verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned, prophetic judgment, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. How did Noah respond to the prophetic judgment of God? He entered into a period of preparation. He began to prepare an ark to save his entire household. What should you be your response as you heard the prophet release the word of God upon this nation? We have to prepare our hearts for this coming challenges. Amen? Prepare. I remember in 1985 there was a young prophet that came to the pulpit of Grandshaw's convention that year. He began to tell the people about the decades of the 90s and began to speak forth the prophetic word. He says, thus saith the Lord, it's time that the people of God arise and prepare the ark in the spirit, because the storms are coming. Prepare the ark in the spirit as in the days of Noah's time. Walk in the spirit, pray strong tongues, and prepare against the storms that are coming. We have to prepare for this decade. The rain and the storm has not come, but as a pastor, I will warn you as a flock, when it comes, don't let it sweep you away. Amen? Prepare. Poor little creatures, poor things that are little. Don't look down on little things. Don't look down on people with little talent. They may have wisdom. Because sometimes we thought we are great, but we have pride, and we lost the wisdom of God like Lucifer. So don't look at people that are little, they have little talent, but they may have great deposit of wisdom. Amen? Little, things that are little. Look at an ant. If it's little, even a little finger can squash it and crush it and kill it. But yet he says, don't you dare kill it. Learn from the ant. Proverbs chapter 6 talks about learning from an ant. Can you imagine? Man has to lower himself to learn from an ant, not from another human being. Look at Proverbs 6:6. He says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. I don't know why he's talking about you. Consider her ways and be wise. Which having no guide, overseer or ruler, provide, prepare her meat in the summer and gather her food in the harvest. How long will you sleep, O sluggard? When will you arise out of thy sleep? Is sleep good? He says this. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travel, and thy one as an armed man. God is speaking to many tonight to wake up from sleep to wake up from complacency, to wake up from sluggardness. It's time to wake up and learn from a little creature, an ant. Don't despise them. Learn from them. When I'm a young boy, when I'm three, I used to look upon the walls, upon the kitchen table, where there are a lot of little ants, black ants. And I will observe them. And as they move, I will observe them where they go, and I'll follow them. And I say, why? They are so busy. They are always working. And I couldn't understand things when I was a young boy. But now I begin to understand the things that God intends to teach men. Ants wants to teach us a lesson. What lesson can we learn from there? Don't be lazy. Don't be sluggard. Be diligent. Some of you need to learn to be diligent. Let an ant teach you a lesson. Go and look at the ant. You say, ant, I'm learning from you today. And then stand out there and watch. What does that little tiny ant do? If you go to a garden and you see crowds of ants gather around that area, you pluck out that, maybe that rock, you will see something interesting. It is actually an ant nest. Within, you see public roads, houses, compartments filled with food, twigs, and so forth. And from an ant, you discover six truths tonight and learn from them. Firstly, each ant supplies their contribution to the corporate ant nest. Each ant will supply their labor effort. No ants sit around idle all day. They are always at work. That gives us the first truth. Every ant member supplies their labor. Every member of the body of Christ must supply, cannot sit idle upon their feet. If you come to this church for more than a year and you have no ministry and you refuse to work for God, you are not an ant. You have to learn from them. Every ant is active for their ant kingdom. You have to be active. Second fact about an ant is this. Ants work quietly. Have you heard them say, siong ah, siong ah. Have you said, wah, this is tough. Did they complain? Did they murmur? They walk past you without even whisper something. You don't know that they have just passed you. They work so quietly. They're not looking for recognition. Not looking for fame. Not looking for popularity. Some may work and say, Pastor, I've done that, you know. And you want some praise on your pet, on your shoulder. Be like an ant. If you're supposed to work, work, finish, keep quiet. They didn't go to the ant queen and say, ant queen, give me a medal. I work a long day. I work for one whole year. Give me my CPF contribution. You know, I'm working as a civil servant. Give me my telecom shares. No, they work quietly. And they are very happy. The third thing about an ant is this. They gather food, the Bible says. They gather food in the summer. Why might gather food? They are always working. They are workers. They will go around, gather the food, and bring back into that nest. Hard work. Work every day of their life. God appreciates hard work. And God says, look from an end. I created them. I give them the wisdom to show men that man needs to work hard. Haggai 1:8 says what? Go up to the mountain and gather wood. As an ant gather food, you are supposed to gather wood and come to the house and build this house. How long have you not gathered wood for this church? How long have you not bring a soul into this kingdom? How long you have not tell your friends or strangers about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you out there gathering wood? And then, when they carry their food, their load is two times as heavy as their body structure. They work very hard. No wonder everywhere they establish their end kingdom, no man can stop it. You destroy one end nest, they go to another place and they build another one. How about you? Are you intent to be like the end kingdom, spreading and building end structure all over the world? And no man can stop it? Fourth thing about an end. End knew the time and the season. The Bible says, they gather food in the summer. You know why? In the winter there is no food. They work fast before winter time. They know about the time and the season. And yet, do you know ants have no brain? But they know about the times and the season. And yet we have brains and do not know about the end time. Even the prophets warn us and we are still blind. Stupor in a coma. Work while it is day. The end always prepared ahead of time. How about you? Are you prepared ahead of time? Forewarned is forearmed. Right now, Singapore is in the summer season. It's time to gather food before winter sets in. Fifthly, each ant function according to their calling. A worker ant will work, a soldier ant will guard the nest. Every ant knows their position and their place within the corporate gathering. No jealousy, no strife among the ants. They know their position. They know what they're supposed to do. How about you? Do you know what you're supposed to do within this local body? Do you know what you're supposed to do within the universal body of Christ? Each end knows their specific function. How about you? Are you functioning specifically according to your calling and your gifting and your abilities? When a worker end knows his calling, he will work until the maximum capability within his talent. If his ability is to carry a load of twice as much as body structure, he will do it. How about you? Are you using to the maximum capacity of your talent and the gifting of God upon your life? Or are you putting in one talent? Even for the next 10 years until Jesus comes, you say, Lord, nah, I give you back. Full of dust, unpolished, full of mud, full of pig smell, and give it back to God. Are you intending to do that? Or are you going to have like be like an ant? Work to the maximum of your capabilities according to the Creator's design and instruction. The sixth thing about an ant is this. An ant always builds their corporate nest together. They work as a team. They build the nest together. They know their way back to the nest. Every time they go out, their return journey is to nowhere but to the corporate gathering. They long to gather together. They have corporate fellowship among the ants. It's time to remember, not forsaking the assembly as the day draw nigh. Corporate gathering is very important. Corporate gathering to build the corporate nest is very important. No wonder the ant's kingdom always prosper. And yet the kingdom of God has a long way to go. We need truly to learn from an ant. If an ant can talk back to us, he'll tell you, learn from us. Though we are little, but we have much wisdom. Amen. You know, like a horse. You know a horse? Song of Solomon chapter 1 verse 9. You be like the horses of the Pharaoh's chariot. Horses are strong and zealous. You know, we need horses in the church. Strong and zealous. But there's a saying in America, it is not safe to ride on a horse unless it is broken. You only ride on broken horses, not on wild horses. Horses is good in this church, but it has to be broken. Because when they are broken, they will go where the master says go. Likewise, we need ants in this church. We need a lot of ants. Ants to go and gather food. Do you think our church is big enough? Or you think that we need much supply? We need everyone to behave like an ant in this church. Every member supplies. Every ant supposed to work for their ant's kingdom. Every ant in this church supposed to work and gather food while it is summertime. You are an ant. Learn the characteristics and you'll be a strong Christian building the kingdom of God. We need ants in this church. Will you be one? Pastor, why do you think we are like ants? Because you lack that kind of wisdom. If God says they are exceedingly wise, they are wiser than you, no? At the end of the day, God reward them because they do according to the Maker's design. We have to behave like an ant in certain way, working zealously for the kingdom without seeking for reward. Amen? Would you be an ant? Would there be many ants that say, Pastor, we will gather wood. We will respond to the message of Haggai 1:8. We will go up to the mountain and we will gather wood to build the house of the Lord. Would you go and gather wood? We need a lot of ants for next year. The theme for this year is the builders of the Lord's house. Ants are workers and they build the animal kingdom. Ants kingdom. We need ants here, figuratively speaking, to build the Lord's house. Would you be an ant that responds to the Lord's call? There needs some changes in our church. The way we respond to the call of God, the way we respond to the work of God, whatever there's a lack in this church, people must automatically arise. There was one day, the pastor was doing his study on Saturday, preparing for a Sunday sermon. And a young kid came to the father and said, Dad, I need to play with you. Mom is out. And this kid pestering the pastor, father, and the father thought of an idea, saw a magazine over there, and he tore the page, one page out of the magazine with a world map, and he cut it into many pieces, and he threw it down and said, why don't you make it up and join the whole jigsaw puzzle? So he thought, oh, that would take him a long time, and so that will leave me alone and I can prepare my own message. But within minutes, the kid got everything together, and the pastor was very surprised. He said, how did you do it? Because how did a small little kid of 6 years old or 5 years old understand which country, respond to which country and so on? But a young boy responds, that's very simple. Behind this picture of the world map is a picture of a man. So I joined the hands together and legs together and then finally the top head fixed to the body itself and I got the whole picture together. So the opposite side was fixed. So he said, when I fix the man right, the world become okay. And with that, the pastor came up with a new sermon that day. He says, when a man is right, his world becomes right. When a man is right, his world becomes right. When people is right in this church will be alright. When people in this church is not alright, this church will be in trouble. And the kingdom of God will suffer. We need many willingness, like an ant, to work for this kingdom, to work for this church. Building the corporate nest, not building your own house. We need that. The ants always prepare ahead of time. Always prepare ahead of time. Like for example, you don't wait until you understand that you contracted cancer and you say, "Pastor, I now want to believe God with you together. Tell me the 10 scriptures about healing." I think it's a bit too late. Prevention is better than cure. Amen? You don't wait until judgment hits Singapore and say, "Pastor, I want to enlist as an intercessor now." It's too late. Why do the government have national service training and reservist training? It's to prepare for what? Against an onslaught of the enemy. Preparation ahead of time is very important. And God longs to recruit many intercessors against the onslaught of the enemy against this land. Amen? 1 Timothy chapter 6 has a very interesting saying there. And I would like to read to you right now. 1 Timothy chapter 6. In verse 18, "They that do good and they be rich in good works, ready to give, willingness to communicate, or willing to give, lay up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they might lay hold on eternal life." You see, the give prepares ahead of time with a good foundation prepared against the time to come. Prepare while the going is good. Make hay while the sun shines. Why must we learn from the end for this decade of the 1990s? Why? Because the summer season, when it's over, it's too late to apply the wisdom of the end. When this decade is about to close, what happened during the days of Joseph will happen again throughout the whole world. Then, people who did not have a law, apply the law of storehouse saving, and people who do not behave in a way that, according to scriptures, become a strong giver, tithe 20% and so on, you'll find when it comes, they are not prepared against it. Gather food while it is summer. The summer season is about to be over. Summer talk about prosperity is about to be over. In 2-3 years' time, you'll see something happen in the economy. And then you start to behave like an ant. It's a bit too late. That's the first wisdom that we learn from the little creature, amen? Let's learn from the second creature that's found in the book of Proverbs. About in verse 26, "The cornies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks." What are cornies? Cornies is a crossbreed between a field mouse and a rabbit. It's larger than a rabbit. Cornies have a peculiarity, that is, they build their houses on the clefts, the cracks of the rocks, as mentioned in Psalms 104 verse 18. There's a very famous man, Italian man, called Paolo Solini. In the Arizona desert, he built works of art, architectural structure in the Arizona rugged landscape called Arco Santi. Rugged landscape, he built houses there, and people, rich people, began to flock into the Arizona desert. And that speaks about the animals. The cornies purposefully built their houses upon cracks and the clefts of the rocks. Whenever there's a gap, big hole in the rocks, there you find the little cornies there. What can we learn from them? Firstly, I believe there are three things that we can learn from the cornies. Firstly, the cornies built their house near the food source supply. They don't build their nest far away from the food supply. That speaks about what? Our life must be built around the Word of God. Man must not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. We must build our life around the food supply. That is the Word of God. We must be like the cornies, built around the foot supply. Some built far away. According to them, spend one day's journey to look for food. When it comes out, there the food supply is. That's what you're supposed to do in your own Christian walk. Secondly, the conies are aware and they have a very acute sense of danger. They sense the coming of the enemies, the fowls of the air, to capture them and eat them up. They are very alert to that. That's why they built their nests around the clefts of the rocks. What does that show? They know that there are feeble folk to protect against these fowls of the air. What do? They hide themselves in the rock, and they know that the birds cannot attack them like the eagles and the vultures. For us to be free from oppression and from the attacks of the enemy, we must build our home around the rock of Jesus Christ. If you build your life not in the rock, the fowls of the air, the prince of the power of the air, will capture you. Are you building your relationship and your house upon the rock or upon sinking sand? Thirdly, about the conies is they knew their weaknesses very well. They know their the forces of the enemy, so they seek protection. Do you know, without God's grace and the presence of the Holy Spirit, you're weak against the onslaught of the enemy? Christ is the only refuge and help in times of trouble. Do you know that? What is the meaning of building your house in the rock? Turn with me in the book of Matthew, chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever hears this saying of mine and do them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock like a coney. Now you know, amen, how to apply it. When the rain descend, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, it fell not. Hallelujah! The conies will survive, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hear this saying of mine and do not do them shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And when the rain descend, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. In this 1990s, if you don't build your life upon the rock, great will be your fall. Great tragedy will happen upon your life. You notice it's mentioned about the rain, the floods, and the wind. Three forces were coming against the houses upon the rock. I'm telling you, in this decade, it will be three times as tough as the times of the Great Depression of the 1930s. It's going to get tougher and tougher, and many of you are not able to take it. That's why you look so fierce tonight. I'm trying to bring across a serious message that you've really got to prepare your house upon a sound foundation that cannot be shaken. Three kinds of oppression will come in the 1990s. The demonic, the political, and the economic will come upon every man and every woman. And by that time come, when the rain and the wind and the flood comes, I wish you'd be like the coney that has the wisdom to build upon the cleft of the rock, that you will not fall. Three things, three degrees of oppression is coming. That reminds me of Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 to verse 3. Arise and shine, for the light has come, and gross darkness cover the earth. Gross darkness cover the earth, but the light will shine, and Gentiles will arise to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. What does that show? In this end time, you'll see three things. On the positive and the negative. The negative, you will see a direct open confrontation with the power of darkness. People will get more and more oppressed. You will see many cases of demonized possession. You see many people who are deluded, who are deceived. You see many people under oppression, under different kinds of bondage of the flesh. Secondly, direct confrontation with demonic forces, the occult, and the power of darkness will be evident. Secondly, it will be a season of the peak of satanic power. Gross darkness, the peak of satanic power. And thirdly, it will be a time full of wickedness will cover the earth. Darkness will cover the earth. It's the peak. The earth will be like a cup full of iniquity, ready for God's wrath and judgment. On the other side, the positive three things will happen. It's the time and a season for the harvest of souls. Kings and Gentiles will come to our light. Secondly, it will be the peak of God's glory, signs and wonders. And thirdly, as we found in Isaiah chapter 60 verse 8, talking about the wind, the rapture will take place. The Coney's fourth characteristic is that they built their house upon a strong foundation. Family ties, all kinds of relationships in the decade of the 90s will all be withered, diminished, eroded, and break down. Divorce will increase on an accelerated scale. Mark my words. In this decade, three things must happen. Firstly, the male, the husband, must take on the role as a head and a priest of the house. Secondly, child discipline must be enforced. Don't spare the rod in this end time. And thirdly, for all relationships to prosper in this decade, the fruits of the Spirit must be developed in their lives, or no relationship will stand in this decade. Don't be surprised to hear many divorce and many separations in this decade, even among your own friends, among Christian friends. Even hear news in this church. If every relationship is not built upon the rock, different kinds of faith, first of all, different kinds of people from Abel, Noah, Abraham, David, and so on. You notice we talk about in terms of ranking, in terms of degree of importance. It start off with a man called Abel. Why? For this end time of the decade of 1990s, giving is very important. Giving is very important in times of famine. Isaac sowed, and he had 100-fold in that year of famine, in Genesis chapter 26. So giving is important. Talk about giving, because giving releases grace. Then in verse 5, talk about Enoch. The second thing in the decade of the 90s is very important is this. Building a relationship, a fellowship with God is ultimately very important to your survival in this decade. And then in verse 7, it talks about Noah heard and warned of things not seen. The Word of God is a very important foundation in this decade. You don't build upon the Word, you're going to fall, and great will be your fall. And fourthly, in verse 7, it says, he built the ark to the saving of his household. Fourth priority in this last, in this end time decade, family relationship must be guarded. You have to prepare an ark for your own family. Guard it, or else will be destroyed. What am I saying? God is your only security in this decade, not your telecom share. It is your only security. You say, Pastor, why are you speaking so strong? I'm speaking prophetically ahead of time to warn you. When I'm called by God, appointed by God, ordained by God to be a shepherd in this church, I have to warn you ahead of time. So you have to build upon Jesus and His Word. Then you will not fall. Alright? So let's turn to the third creature to learn some wisdom from them. Proverbs chapter 30 again. Verse 27. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. Do you know it's an insult that God used these creatures to insult us? Three of these creatures have no brain, except for the conies. They have no brain, yet they function exceedingly well under the wisdom of God. Example, ants. People not strong, but they learn how to prepare ahead of time. We, stronger than an ant, do not know how to prepare in times of summer. Then talk about the coolies. They are feeble folk. They know to build their lives upon the rocks. And yet we, stronger than a coney, doesn't build our life upon the rock. The only creature that has brains that doesn't obey the designs of the Creator. Third thing, a locust have no king. We have a king. The locusts have no king, yet they go in corporateness. We have a king, yet we go our separate ways and do our separate things. What can we learn from a locust? Three things. Firstly, a locust have good coordination. The Bible says in the Moffat translation, they advance in order. They have coordination. They didn't fly and knock each other and every locust fell to the ground. You know? All the locusts fell to the ground in coma, concussion, overcast, bruise, and so forth. No, they fly in order as a swarm, all orderly. You didn't see swarms come and move into eight ways like an octopus tentacles. No, they move as one direction. Amen? Good coordination. They move as a team. Secondly, preservation. You know, locust is a tiny little insect. If they move singularly, the birds will eat them up. But if they move in a corporate group, there a bird comes. The swarm of locusts go through them. They bota, all their feathers drop. You know? So they learn preservation, protect themselves by staying together. The Living Bible says they stay together in swarms against the praise of the air. Thirdly, the locust. How do the locusts flow in unity? The beautiful thing about the locust is that we understand there is wisdom in unity. There's strength in unity. Protection in unity. How? Learn from a locust. The locust able to move in unity because they learn this particular wisdom that the Church of Jesus Christ have not learned yet. They understand the flow of the wind. They go only where the wind blows. Example, in Exodus chapter 10, verse 13, when the east wind blows, the locusts fill the land. The locusts flow according to the wind direction. The direction of the wind of the Spirit, the wind of the Holy Spirit. There is only unity in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Since the fall of man, there is no unity. When Adam sinned against God, the first quarrel is between a husband and a wife. God says, who asked you to eat that fruit? This wife that you give to me. First quarrel. Ah, you accuse me? They start to quarrel. The first quarrel among brothers, Abel and Cain, happened because of the fall of man. There is no unity in the flesh. They can promote everything from this pulpit. There is no unity. The only unity comes as we bind ourselves in the unity in the Spirit. That means we begin to walk in the Spirit, develop the fruits of the Spirit. We begin to have unity with the Godhead. We love Jesus so much. And then God will give us the grace to walk in unity among each other. That's the only way. That's why churches have been saying, let's gather together in unity. Waste your time. Go and fly kite. It won't work. I'm saying the truth. No, it won't work. Unity must flow with the wind. Unity can only happen in the Spirit. Or put it more practically, unity in love. You know why the Koreans are so successful in unity? The whole Korean peninsula is so successful in unity among the Christians. You know why? Firstly, look at their prayer life. Secondly, look at their word life. Thirdly, they love God so much. Fourthly, look at their dedication to the church activities. They go as one. Why? Because they have their unity in the Spirit. For this church to walk in unity, we have to firstly love Jesus very much. We must get back our first love. When we fall in love with Jesus, we will fall in love with everybody. Loving God will give us the grace to love our fellow brothers and sisters. That's the only key to unity. If you don't believe me, find a brother and a sister that has not spent time with God in prayer and the Word. You try to build a relationship with the person, you see what happens? Sooner or later, you go into disagreement and strife. So we learn from the locust this wisdom. Finally, let's learn from the spider or the lizard. Tonight we're going to talk about lizard. Next Sunday we talk about the spider. The lizard take hold with her hands and is in the king's palace. We can find lizard everywhere. In a poor man's home, in the streets, in the corner of the road, in a rich man's house, you can find lizards or spiders everywhere. What can you learn from them? The wisdom. He says this, the lizard can also be found in the king's palace. What's so special about lizards? Have you noticed about lizards? There's only one beautiful thing about lizards. If they are around in the house, they destroy flies and mosquitoes. That's their diet. We need this kind of people against the flies, against Belzebub, against the mosquitoes that inject poison into the bloodstream of others, the gossipers, the murmurers, and so on. That's where the lizard come and clean it up. But the beautiful thing about lizard is this, their stickability in their pet. They stick upon the wall, as the Hokkien saying, passing my cow, you know, stick there, they won't move. They stick. We need people that have stickability. We need people that are faithful. They stick to it and won't move. But a beautiful thing about a lizard is mentioned there, is that these lizards are found in a king's palace. The lizards know how to enjoy themselves. They go into the king's palace and enjoy the fragrance, the beautiful setting, and the aroma of the food. They know how to enjoy. What can we learn from a lizard this evening? To prepare ourselves for this decade. Simply this. God is giving a daily invitation for you to come to the king's palace. In the Old Testament, there are only 47 people that have the privilege to enter into the Holy of Holies. Be like the lizard. Stay in the king's palace. The decade of the 90s is intimacy with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God wants you to be in the king's palace. Would you be there? Would you stick your pet and say, I will not come out from the dwelling of my God and Savior? The lizard has wisdom. Gather all this truth and apply in your life. This will be a security in the decade of the 90s. Intimacy with God, a strong relationship with God, is the only key, your only fortress of protection against the forces of the 1990s. Would you come? And when you enter into the king's palace, Psalms 91 will be your total protection. You'll begin to dwell under the shadow of the Almighty, not afraid of the pestilence by day or anything that happened to you. No plague will come near thy dwelling place. Arrow that fly by day, you are not afraid. You're not afraid of the terror by night. You will dwell safely under the wings of the Almighty God. This will be a security. Would you prepare your heart for the decade of the 90s? Learn from the four creatures. Apply those wisdom that you will be secure and protected against the storms of this decade. And when it comes,
Pastors do not have to go around and plaster you with wounds. Pastors don't have to call you up and say, why do you backslide from the Lord? Why have your hearts gone cold? Are you afraid of the crisis and the pressures of life? But you'll be strong, though you are weak and little upon the earth. Amen? We may be a little flock, strong. Amen? Because we know how to apply the wisdom of God for this time of our life. Let's close the word of prayer.